Thank you, Shane, for leading us in those beautiful songs. Among the visitors this morning, we're blessed to have Malin Stelzfus from Connecticut here. He's on their leadership team there in their church. And he is a son-in-law to Omer Miller. So I think most of you will connect with that. If you have trouble connecting with that, for the older folks, you remember Edwin Miller. That's a great grandfather. So, bless you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, brother, for that introduction. That's the reason we're here. And I guess there would have been quite a few other places we could have went. But the reason we came to Center is because years ago when Charity was a little girl and they would come visit here, they'd often come to Center. And so when we as a family came for this Miller reunion, Charity said, I want to go to Center. So somehow or another, you all have made an impression on Charity, for one, that she wanted to come back here and worship here this morning with you all. And of course, I did too, as well. It is a long way. How many of you all have been to Connecticut? Okay, a number of you. Well, the rest of you, Connecticut is east of here, a few hours. And you all are welcome to come and visit us sometime. I wasn't sure how to do this. We're staying with Alice and Lenita. And yesterday morning, I believe, I texted him and said, you know, I would be willing to share in your church, but I'm not offended if somebody else is already sharing. And anyway, that's why I am here. So I did what I wanted Alice or whoever that comes to visit us in Connecticut. That's why I did it, because when you come, you should let us know, and then we will sure try to give you the same opportunity and privilege to share with us when you're there. We love visitors. But for a devotional this morning, I'm going to share some thoughts, first of all. I've been thinking a lot recently about the law and love. And if you're like me, sometimes it's easy to put those two in separate categories. But Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. And so with that, and I was thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the church being a body and how we are different members and how these members fit together. But then in the end of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then it goes into 1 Corinthians 13, which we call the love chapter, right? I'm not going to go there much this morning, but with that in mind, I have a question. How would you describe the love in one word, if you can? What word would you use to describe love? Does anybody want to care to?
Giving.
Giving? Okay.
Acceptance.
Otherness.
Otherness. Okay.
Sacrifice.
Selflessness. Okay. Care. Did I hear caring? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the Bible, those are all good words. And they're not wrong. It's hard to describe love in one word, isn't it? Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I'll start reading at verse 7. First John chapter 4, verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So another word that you could use, according to Scripture here, is God, because God is love. But that still doesn't bring any context to it, does it? The words that you shared bring more context, at least in my mind, than the word God, unless you have a relationship with God, unless you know the heart of God, it means nothing to say God is love. And so in a world today where we live in, there's some people will describe love in a different way than you might. So what does love need to be understood? Think about what Jesus said. He came to do the Father's will. I came, and in Matthew 5, he said, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. So if that's the case, and Jesus came to fulfill the Father's will, then the law, you could really say that the law is also love. So, okay, now what do I do? How does the law show me love? Do we think about God when he wrote the Ten Commandments? And he wrote the whole list of thou shalt nots? Is that where your mind goes, first of all, when you think of love? It's not the first place that I go to, and yet God's law gives us context for love. Now, I hope I can explain what's in my heart. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about a body and how there's different members that are working together. And then 1 Corinthians 13, and yet show I a more excellent way. So now let's think about a body. A body is made up of many different parts. A body also has a skeleton, right? Now, how many of you enjoy hugging skeletons? Now, but back east, it's becoming more and more common that, especially around Halloween, we'll see these huge skeleton statues anymore. They're not just small anymore, they're making them really big. And I don't know why people do that, except they have this strange attraction to death. Well, when I see a skeleton, it reminds me of death. A skeleton, but we all have one. And if you don't have a skeleton, why then what are you? Maybe an animal or something that would describe it would be a jellyfish. Just a blob of something. So as a body needs a skeleton, let's say the law is a skeleton. Because a skeleton brings structure, and law does too. It brings definition and structure. But as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel chapter 35, I think it is, when Ezekiel had the vision of that valley of dry bones, and the question was asked, can these dry bones live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. And as that vision continues, the bones came together, but still they were dead. And then the flesh came on them, and soon it started taking form. And we begin to, but it was still dead. It needed the breath of God to bring life. Now, how many of us like to or enjoy hugging a dead body, even if it has flesh on it yet? We don't do that for very long, because a body turns cold and just, there's not much there when the breath of life is gone, right? But for sure not in a skeleton form. So if the skeleton is the law, then what we see with our eyes, people that we love and can hug, would maybe be the grace part. The analogy falls apart somewhere, but let's read some more. Here in 1 John chapter 4. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 8. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now we're seeing some definition here. Jesus came as the Son of Man to show us who God is. He came as a human being in the flesh, somebody that we can touch and feel and see and hug. And now we begin to know what love is. No man has seen God at any time. Oh, and yet we know his heart, because Jesus came as the Son of Man, as a human being, that we can understand it. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, because he hath given us his Spirit. And so now today, the church becomes this body of different members, different people that in extension are, well, you know, we all have our own bodies, but in extension, the church is this body of believers that if we love one another and we follow in Jesus' footsteps, we become this beautiful picture of love. This picture that reaches back into our childhood. You know, I want to go to Center. Why? Because I've seen love there. We make memories. That's love. A portion of love. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, just like a body has different parts, and the different parts have different they do different things. My hand does a different thing than my foot, but we all have these important places to play in a church to bring out this definition of love to the people around you. So I just want to encourage us all to continue following Jesus as our definition of love, and continue doing here in this very expansive place called Kansas. Continue to show the people around you what love is. In such a way that 40 years from now, there might be another little girl that says, I want to go visit the people at Center. If the Lord tarries. This is love. God is love. And we know him because of Jesus. And will the world here in Kansas, will the people around you know what Jesus is all about because of what you and I have done? That's the challenge I want to leave with you this morning. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you that you are love and that you made it so clear and easy to understand by sending your Son Jesus, the Son of Man, God in the flesh, to show us what love is. Thank you that we can relate to one another in this way. Thank you for your blessing and goodness. And Lord, I pray your special blessing on the church here at Center. Pray that you would guide, direct, and keep them, make your face shine upon them, be gracious unto them, and lead them into a deeper and a more full expression of God's love here in this part of the world. Thank you, Father, that we can worship together this morning, and thank you for the rest of what happens in the rest of the service. Lord, I pray you would lead and guide us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.